Revelation chapter 8. I only want to read verse 1. And this is not an in-depth look at that verse. Matter of fact, I don't know all that it is talking about there. We will see. I was very thankful that all of you were here when I was away. I don't want you to be here because I'm here. And I thank you for your prayers for the two that spoke. For I know that some of you had asked the Lord to help them. I was very thankful in listening to them later. And don't know that if anything could have been spoken about, it could have been any better or more needful for the church here. And it was such a refreshing blessing to me that our Lord had a word for you. I was telling Toby this week about Mr. Spurgeon was on a train headed for a speaking engagement at a certain church there. And the train was delayed, and when he got off, he was about three blocks from the church, and he said he ran as best he could to get there. And in stepping into the entrance, he said there was an old man up there preaching, and he stopped and said, "Here he is. This is the one that was scheduled to preach tonight. Come on up here, young man, and finish my sermon." Mr. Spurgeon said, he asked, "Where were you?" He told him in Ephesians 2, 8 and 9, "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God." And he asked him, "How far did you get?" And he said, "Just on the first point there, by grace." And he said, "I began there preaching where he left off," or the passage was divided so well that anyone could have spoken about it. "And I'd been preaching a good while," he said, when gently there was a tug on my coat. And the gentleman said, "Would you cover that again for them? I don't want anyone to have missed it." And he said, "I repeated what I just said." And then, as he was soon to close, the old man stood up and he said, "My grandson is a better preacher than I am, but my grandson does not have a better gospel than I have." And I was thinking, had I been sitting here behind those two, I would have stopped them and said, "Repeat that again. I want everybody to hear. So I hope you'll keep it with you and not lose it. And the Lord continue to bless it to your heart." Now I want to speak to you this morning, Lord willing, and certainly the Lord helping, on the silence of heaven and in heaven. I'm not playing on two little prepositions there, trying to prove my intelligence. You know better by now. Silence of heaven and the silence in heaven. if you would you join hearts with mine as we approach the throne of grace? Our Father, it is always good to be back, to be here with this assembly and with your children. Again, I'll thank you for that you provided them with, and that you helped them much. Now, would you, in your mercy, favor us for a short while to speak truthfully, plainly, and make it a help, an encouragement, or if need be, a gentle rebuke, just what the children need. And Lord, be not silent to them. And make the preacher's voice or words echo in their heart as, "Thus saith the Lord God." Guide and direct as we continue our service here for thine honor and for the glory of our blessed Redeemer. And give us thy Spirit with wisdom and a good utterance and a help to your children. For we pray in Christ's name. Amen. About the silence of heaven. There's one thing certain. No one is ever brought savingly to a knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ apart from the voice of God. Do not think that it is an audible voice. It may be to you as it was to the young child Samuel when he ran into Eli and said, "You called, what do you want?" And Samuel, blind, God having left him alone, he sent him back and said, "No, I did not call you." And again, the voice, "Samuel." And he ran back and he said, "Here I am." And by that time, Eli was beginning to realize that's the voice of God to that young person. And he said, "You go back and you lie down. And the next time the voice speaks, you say, 'Here, Lord, am I.'" You won't have that happen to you. But there must be, by the Spirit of God, taking a verse of Scripture or verses and applying them to your heart so that for the first time you really realize, "I'm lost. I'm undone and I'm guilty. And a sinner will never have that happen if heaven is silent." Our Lord Jesus came into the world to save sinners, only sinners. I came not to the righteous. I have nothing for them. And everyone that is whole has no need of a physician. So, if you're self-righteous, and you're all well within, you've never heard the voice of God. Now, throughout history, the Old Testament history, the silence of God was quite often from time to time. And Adam and Eve would have died with their fig leaves making clothing for them. They would have died in their sin had not God spoken to them another time. And Abraham in Genesis 15, when the sun was going down, he said, I fell into a deep sleep and great horror, and darkness fell upon me. God said, thy seed shall be strangers in this land for 400 years. And they shall be afflicted, but in the fourth generation they shall come hither. Because the iniquity of the Amorites is not full. How much longer we will stand, I do not know. Whether or not this nation one day will be subdued by a foreign power, I do not know. But this I know, the reason our Lord has not yet come is because the iniquity is not yet full. When that reaches that point, then the Lord will return. But throughout Judges, the Lord would raise up a good judge, and he would lead Israel, and they would get out of captivity. And then he would die, and Israel would go back into sin and rebellion. By the time the little Samuel comes on the scene, it is said in that 1 Samuel 3, where the word of the Lord, or the word of the Lord, was precious in those days. For there was no open vision. And when you find the word vision oft times in the Old Testament, one of the meanings is divine communication. It wasn't much. And that's why that the word of God was precious to them. Because nowhere they went, no one that they listened to, did they hear God having a voice to them. Proverbs 29, Solomon said, where there is no vision, where there is no divine communication, the people perish. And when God stops speaking here, the doors will be closed. You must hear. Might be in reading. Might be hopefully in preaching from time to time. You might have the Lord say something to you. But I remind you again of Amos 8:11. There shall come a famine. Not of bread or of thirst for water, but a famine of hearing. Now that's got to be that God is not talking when there is a famine of hearing. And that's prevalent in our days. Now you're going to say, or others will say, our airways are filled with preachers. I have a Bible, therefore God is not silent to me. Well, in preaching, how can they hear without a preacher? And how shall anyone preach except they be sent? Romans 10. And there's 100, probably 500 false preachers in pulpits to everyone that is declaring the truth of God in this day. And the message is relevant for our time. And so from Malachi to when John the Baptist comes on the scene, God was silent. But religion flourished. And when heaven becomes silent, then evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And in that time, heaven being silent, sin like a poisonous weed shall spread throughout the land and throughout church buildings. A weed can flourish in dry weather. Even if your crops are dry or dying for water, the old weeds out there, they are vigorous and flourishing. The children of God cannot grow without heaven's water. The Word of God compared to water. My doctrine, God said in Deuteronomy, shall drop. My speech shall distill as the dew. But everything that originates in man is poisonous and toxic. And many on the road to hell have been deceived by seducers. People listening to them. Well, I got a Bible. When heaven becomes silent, your Bible is a dead letter. You get nothing from it when you read. It's just there. You could as well read a novel. But your book's dead unless God is talking to you in your reading and in the declaration of His truth, exposition of His Word. When God becomes silent, nothing controversial is ever said out there in the majority of pulpits. Doctrine is offensive and the pulpit is silent. Nothing sin anymore. It doesn't matter how you live or what you do. It's not wrong anymore. God is not condemning. God is not quickening and awakening sinners to hear His voice. A good friend sent me. It was about a page describing the movement that is cropping up all over America, and it's called the Church of the Nuns, not N-U-N, but N-O-N, the Church of the Nuns. No doctrine. If you're a Christian, that's fine. You can worship with us. If you're not a Christian, that's fine. You can worship with us. And they're gathering large congregations out there. Hail, Mitchell. Not on your life. Sin? No. It doesn't matter what the members do. It's a non-church. And so it is. That was here in America. But I can go one step further than the Church of the Nuns. That is, men that have once stood and declared the gospel and the truth found therein. They've devised a new way called New Calvinism. And they've ditched the old doctrines. They pulled up the landmarks our fathers set. And they've made the Word of God easy to be accepted. And when I say heaven is silent, even throughout our land, I'm not saying that that includes every individual and every church. During the 400 years of silence between Malachi and John stepping on the scene, Zacchaeus Elizabeth, Simeon, Anna, they all were waiting for the Lord Jesus. They knew. One took him up in his arms and said, "Now let thy servant depart in peace. I have seen thy salvation." That's when God wasn't talking publicly. And though God is not talking today throughout the land, that does not mean that He's silent to you. I hope it does not mean that. I hope in your reading it is as though God has something to say. God is calling your attention to this or to that. And there are some churches left that people are hearing God speaking in the declaration of His truth. And those local assemblies scattered about. But heaven, moisture. Falls sometimes on the seed that the Spirit of God has implanted in hearts. Not many today. And heaven's moisture germinates that seed. And in the children of God, there's the Lord Jesus Christ being formed. There's the Word of God. All the signs do not go right or left. Straight forward. And in a few hearts, heaven is supplying the rain so that that young plant can grow, but not only grow, but produce fruit. With that in mind, turn with me to Galatians chapter 5, and I just want to read you a few verses here, a couple. Galatians 5. This speaking about the Word of God having been spoken to your heart. And the seed of the Word implanted in your soul. And God from time to time sends heavens distilling moisture to germinate that seed and to bring up that plant. And as your life continues, Galatians 5:22, here are the fruits of the Spirit that every child of God will, in his or her heart, have the production of these. But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. And they that are Christ have crucified the flesh with the affections and lust. And if we live in the Spirit, let us also walk in the Spirit. And let us not be desirous of vain glory, provoking one another, envying one another. That's the true child of God. That's the one that the seed, the Word of God, has been implanted in his or her heart. And from time to time, there are showers from heaven. And that's the little seed planted to develop. And when it has grown, there are the fruits of the Spirit that are evident in the children of God. Every child of God with this walks cautiously. You know that your only way of maintaining the course is that you do not grieve the Spirit of God. If He spoke to you in conviction, and He spoke to you in setting before you the Lord Jesus Christ, crucified and risen, and in His death and resurrection there your life can be. Apart from that, there is no eternal life for you. The child of God with that moisture flowing with that Word of God from heaven. Heaven not being silent but speaking. His life is lived walking honestly and soberly before God, lest he lose the voice of God. Do not think that that can't happen. Eli lost it. I've known others that have lost it. In my time, when I entered the ministry, not knowing any of them, but I got to meet about 20 to 30 young men all over the county that professed that God had called them to preach. All I know about one that has stayed the course. The rest of them departed. Oh, dear soul, what of you? When there is the silence of heaven in your soul, there begins a searching process. Are the little foxes, are they gathering, sneaking through the torn fence, climbing over the walls? Have they invaded my heart? Or is there a worm here like Jonah that cut the gourd? And Jonah lost his shade. These things can be in your heart. But an honest child of God and one that needs the Word, and you need it. One friend asked me what I was going to do when I had the time off. I said, well, we go to the table every day to eat, don't we? I won't be taking time off from finding or searching to find God in the Word. And I won't be taking time off that I leave my closet. I must have heaven continuing to have a voice to my soul. Have these, the little foxes, I don't know what they could be, jealousy, envy, hatred, strife, I don't know. Love of the world, love of money, I don't know. But I know that they can destroy the Word of God in your soul if you don't do something about them. When there's the least noise of all, when there is the least noise in your heart, heaven's dove's not going to remain there. They're going to only stay where there's silence. And so it's up to you. Am I receiving God's voice in the closet, in the book, in the service? Just so when God created all things, He set them in motion. The air and the water always moving, that pollution would not destroy us. You can take this or leave it. It doesn't matter. It's not a matter of life and death. But when God created, when He ended that sixth day, everything was made. Now folk have built things from God's creation. By reading this short article about the water, every time you take a glass of water, full glass of water, and drink it, there's a great percentage of possibility that you are drinking the same that Cleopatra drank. God had made more waters. God had made more air. And so the old men and women that lived drinking water back then, oh, that water ran through the streams and was purified. And time and again you go. But not if heaven's silent. Not if there's no voice from heaven. Now every molecule of water, molecule of air, every movement of the little microscopic animals, to that of the little ant, to that as great as the elephant or the giant whale in the ocean. All the storms, all the storm clouds, until they are full of moisture, but God does not let them empty themselves until they are over that spot that God wants rain to fall. That's why you stay careful. If you have the voice of God, that you do not lose it. God in control of the movements of all these forces and animals. And He did not birth one into His family that He would one day go off and leave. Daily, He is to be your bread. Daily, you are to cry out for that voice from heaven. Don't let circumstances or anything else hinder you in a searching continually of your own heart. Now, two verses in the Psalms. Psalm 28 and verse 1. Unto Thee will I cry, O Lord, my rock, Psalm of David. Be not silent to me, lest if Thou be silent to me, I become like them that go down into the pit. Psalm 83. Psalm 83. A song or psalm of Asaph. 83:1. Keep not thou silence, O God. Hold not thy peace. And be not still, O God. Then he goes on talking about the enemies. The one thing needful for salvation, young ones here, is the thundering voice of God from Mount Sinai crying out in your soul, you are guilty. You may not have committed great sins, but you're guilty. You're living every day only for what you want. And you desire, and until you hear the voice of God condemning you and stopping you, then providing hope as you repent and believe. But that's needful for the development is the still small voice of God. You hear this is the way, walk therein. Lean not to your own understanding, but keeping your eye upon me, saith the Lord God Almighty. Now Revelation 8:1, the silence in heaven. Revelation 8:1. And when he had opened the seventh seal, there was silence in heaven. about the space of half an hour. Now that verse creates a difficulty that I do not have an answer for. First of all, how do you measure silence when you're in eternity for half an hour? What caused the silence? You can read anything you can find. I found that there were 48 men that spoke on Revelation 8:1, and I tried seven or eight of them. I listened to them about 5 minutes, skip over to where they were at 10 minutes, and cut them off. No one ever said anything about what it was. Most of them say that it is because of the coming judgments. That could be true. I don't know. But what I say and what they said is just mere speculation. And it's possible that the coming judgments are so great that those stop heaven's language and it becomes silent. But do you think that the seraphims flying about the face of God crying, "Holy, holy, holy," are the angels there ministering spirits here and above? Do you think that God allowed them to see in advance what was coming upon the earth? And seeing that, like looking down the road and you see two automobiles hit head on, and both look like a little cracker box when they're pulled apart. You don't see that. Do you think God revealed that to these there in heaven? I think heaven would have ceased to be heaven if there are those there that can see down the road and all the devastation coming. Now, I know those that have been given spiritual discernment know that the judgment of God is about us, and it is and will continue. And our only hope in this time of judgment is just to stay with the Lord, faithful to Him. But we've rejected His Son. We've spit in the face of God and said, "I don't need you. I don't need your word. I don't need your churches. Don't need anybody. Look at this great Babylon that I have built." And that's grievous. And that'll cause a lot of silence in your heart when you see what's just ahead of us. Could have been that way when Noah, preaching for 120 years and nobody listening to him. Or it could have been Lot after going out and warning his sons-in-laws and they all looked at him. Rejected. And he's silent. God's about to destroy this place, and I've got daughters and sons-in-law that would not come out with me. As a matter of fact, angels had to lay hold of him, his wife, and his two daughters and drag them out. They were so attached to the world in which they were living. Now, Lot couldn't find any fellowship there, so he'd go out to the city gate and sit there. The New Testament language lets us know that his righteous soul was grieved from day to day. No one believed him. I'm sure that was great silence in his heart. Or Paul, after the Jews threw him out and rejected him, he said, "Okay, I turn to the Gentiles." He had such a heart for his own people. I'm sure that silenced his heart. But there's another sight that could produce silence. I think this will be, but I do not think that is what is spoken about here in Revelation 8. And that is the glory that awaits the child of God. Been saved, gone through when his country had forsaken God, he remained faithful. The saved in so great a silence of God in this day. And then all of a sudden, like a beggar that had begged for just crumbs, heaven opened and there's a feast set. Can't you imagine that that beggar's mouth was stopped? Sure you can. Or the glory of Christ, and you who have tried and begged and prayed and tried to look into the glory of Christ. And then, though now you see through a glass darkly, there you see face to face. I'm sure that sight will silence your heart. Was heaven silenced? Because the Lord is now receiving honor and glory and praise. But then the Bible said that the saints were singing that. There in heaven you travel through this old world, laboring for just a little word here and there dropped, a little seed that God might water in your soul. And there, eternity opens up to you. They're the saints of God. There's your loved ones that have gone on. Don't you imagine that your heart would be silent there? I can believe that. Here you mourn. You often mourn and weep over your sin and over your depravity. But there, you are perfect. Your holiness is perfect. You walk through a veil of tears down here, but there God wipes them all away. Surely that would bring silence to a soul. And here, heaven's sun often is eclipsed in your life. And it often goes down behind the western hills, sinks out of sight. But there he shines in his fullness. There the redeemed of God have been saved to sin no more. Surely that would bring silence. But still, folk, I can't answer the question here, what's he talking about? Many are like those Athenians. All they did was spend their time to tell or hear something new. If you're like that, you're going to be greatly disappointed. Those that like to explore the unknown and the mysteries of the book to prove their intelligence. I offer nothing. I have nothing. All I know is that there was silence in heaven. But trying to bring this to a close, I'm going to set before you, and again, it is only speculation or conjectures on my part. Although this has nothing to do with the silence mentioned here, and I'm going to catch it from the great theologians, I'm not handling this correctly. But I ask, what about that day when the great Creator and Lord of all breathed His last breath and His heart beat no more? And there they took His body, and for 3 days and 3 nights the voice of the Creator was bound in the cold, dark earth that He created. What was heaven doing then? God is not visible. God cannot be seen. And here the Son of God lies in a tomb. But there was a greater silence in many ways. That was about the time of 33 years earlier from His death, when He departed that eternal abode there in glory. And by a miraculous work of the Spirit of God, as the angel told Mary, when she asked, "How shall this be?" The angel said, "The Holy Ghost shall come upon thee, and the power of the High shall overshadow thee. Therefore, that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God." The angel appeared to her betrothed husband. He said, "Fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is in her, that which is conceived, is of the Holy Ghost." And for 9 months, Jesus lay in the womb of Mary. Isn't that silence to you? God Almighty. In a virgin's womb for 9 months. To begin with was just a little microscopic cell. That's what the Holy Ghost implanted. Was there silence in heaven then? I know this. When on that night a child was fully developed within and she gave birth, angels could not keep silent. There was an angel, and suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest." I know I've come nowhere near telling you what that silence is. And there will be those that tell me that you'd never focused on verse 8. And I would be glad to hear anyone who dealt not with mere speculation, but could tell me all that was involved in the silence there in heaven. I do not see how it could be anything other than silence when the redeemed children of Adam, on that last day here and first day there, they stood in the vastness and brilliance and glory of Almighty God. I don't know that you'll have words there. I believe we'll all be dumbfounded in a good way. Happy rejoicing were very angels, that He did not come to redeem. But when Mary brought forth that first son, then happy, rejoicing when without sin we behold Him. And for the first time you look upon Almighty God and you see the one that died, paid your way into glory, paid your debt by the precious blood dropping to the ground. But He rose 3 days later. And there were angels there with the men as they watched Him go. Okay, fellows, why stand ye and gaze up into heaven? The same Jesus that is taken from you shall come in like manner. I can tell you about the boys or the silence of heaven. And I can list a few things that would bring silence to individual hearts as they enter glory. But that of about 30 minutes, I can't. I'll just leave it alone and send you out thinking about your Savior and the high cost that you were. And you who play around with sin, you're going to lose Him if you've ever had Him. You better have your heart right. You better have your attitude right. You better have your language right. Well, I can't do those things. I know. But you can always be pursuing after holiness and pursuing after this Jesus. And pity the man or woman, boy or girl, that takes lightly the Lord Jesus. If there's anyone here in that shape, you're not going to see Him, folks. Not in peace. Lord bless, Lord make in some way useful the words that I've spoken to you this day. And we'll press on following the Lamb of God.